right, something that's been in the news, jury selection for the Laquan McDonald and Jason Van Dyke trial that's going on. So, Bill, we thought it was best if we invited our show attorney into the studio. Rich Lankoff is with us.
Rich, how are you? Nice
not
to see you.
Not a show attorney, as if I'm like a fake attorney, but the attorney for
our show. Yes,
right.
Want to clarify that.
You are a legitimate attorney. We've done our due diligence.
Like a show pony that you just bring, like an attorney that you just bring to like fairs.
Right.
And openings.
No, we didn't mean to infer that
gotcha.
At all.
All right.
So what we learned was that the process of finding the jury for this case, well, for all cases, but especially this case, it's a big, high-profile case, has not been very easy. Let's talk about that. They had to fill out a long, long, long questionnaire. Is that standard?
125 questions on the questionnaire. Fairly standard. Obviously, the more involved the case, and this, I think we would all agree, is if not the most significant case, criminally at least, in the history of the city. It's a bold statement, but
wait,
you know, in many ways
it
is.
You said that a few minutes ago. You said, think about it. What case here in Chicago has been of more importance? And I think you're right.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, you know, corruption cases over the years, obviously. And obviously the Blagojevich trial, you could argue, is
up there
as important. But this one, given the fact that Emanuel announced that he wasn't running for re-election on the eve of jury selection, that this took down the superintendent of the Chicago Police Department and Anita Alvarez in its wake, I would have a hard time to find a more important case. Also, obviously, given the issues involved, police brutality, race, and the anticipated reaction from the community if Van Dyke is found not guilty, it's a huge trial.
Some community leaders have urged people to not riot, to try their best to, you know, to behave themselves under these circumstances.
That's going to work.
I wonder. There's going to be a lot of rage if the case goes a certain way.
And does that make it an unfair trial?
I think those are all good points. I mean, coming into the courthouse, you heard from jurors, potential jurors, who have talked about, and in fact, the defense have talked about the fact that all the protesters are outside and the fact that that is biasing potential jurors. I mean, the question, we talked about this a little bit off air, obviously the question is not whether a potential juror has heard about the case. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find any citizen of Chicago who is going to sit in that box who hasn't heard of this incident, right?
You just can't have formed an opinion, right?
Exactly.
But that's impossible not to have have an opinion about this case.
And you can even have an opinion. Honestly, the standard isn't whether you have an opinion. It's not even whether you are biased. It's whether you can put aside any of those opinions or biases and find based solely on the evidence presented. That is the question. And is it an exact science? Of course not. I mean, all the juries I've picked, you know, you're basing some of it, honestly, on your gut. You know, there's a million different ways to look at jury selection. There are countless experts. We do mock trials all the time. And we look at, you know, certain patterns and we do, you know, you check up on people and there's an ideal standard for a juror. At the end of the day, though, you know, many veteran trial attorneys will agree that you put 12 people in, a lot of it is based on your gut, and you go from there. So there's not an exact science to any of this.
All right. So I went through, there was a timeline of the night in question, and I read through that. I've been obsessed with this case. I've seen the video, 16 shots. There were other police officers around. I don't feel he was worried about being killed, but I can't know what's in his mind. So I'm thinking 16 shots, completely excessive, but would that automatically eliminate me? Or what if I said, I think 16 shots is too many, but I would like to listen to the evidence and try and be as unbiased as possible.
Yeah, that's the key. If you said those final words, then, you know, you would probably be accepted, except for other issues, right? So the way jury selection works, voir dire is the term, is both sides have the right to kick out jurors for a couple of different reasons. You have the right to kick out jurors for what's called cause. And cause is, as you mentioned, if you came out and said, listen, I think that Van Dyke is guilty, and no matter what the evidence says, I'm not going to rule in your favor. Or if you are related to someone, those are all examples of cause. And cause, there is no number of jurors that can be excluded for cause. Now, you also have what's called peremptory challenges, and those are challenges that either side has, and you could just use those because you decide that you don't like someone. You don't like the way they answer the question. You don't like their profession. Now, you can't, under a case you might have heard of called Batson versus Kentucky, that's back from the 80s, you cannot use peremptory challenges to exclude someone for race, right? So you can't say that this person, potential juror, is African-American, and the victim is African-American, therefore, I think they're biased. You cannot do that, but...
Legally, you can't.
Legally, but the challenger, someone who raises a Batson objection, has to really go and prove that that was the main factor. In other words, if I was fighting a Batson objection, and someone said, I use a peremptory challenge because someone is African-American, all I would have to show the judge is that there's some other alternative explanation, and that person would stay in. So... to answer your question, if you said to the attorneys that I don't think I can rule favorably or I can rule honestly and fairly, that would probably kick you out for cause. I want to add one more point, though. Judges are pretty savvy, especially this judge who's heard a lot of high profile cases, the R. Kelly case, veteran criminal judge. They know all the tricks that people have to get out of juries, and the standard thing people say to get out of juries is, well, I don't think I can rule reasonably. Judges know better than that, and I've been in a lot of juries where judges have said, I don't buy it, you're staying
really?
On. Of course, because you know most people don't want to be in juries. I would like to be. Wendy, you said you would love to be in a jury.
I really would be.
A lot of people don't want to be.
I mean, although this may go, I don't know, when you think about it, the poor O.J. Simpson jurors, they didn't think they'd be sequestered for so long. And, I mean, who knows how this case could go?
Could go a while, and that's always a factor in people's decision to try to get off a jury, the amount of time that it takes, amount you're going to get paid. But, you know, as someone who picks juries and argues before juries, I would love to do it. I mean, one of the great mysteries in what we all do in the law is what really goes on in the jury room, right? I mean, you always hear that the jury doesn't focus on the evidence necessarily. They focus on, unfortunately, some details that you don't like
the personality.
Sure. What people are wearing, things like that.
Yeah.
The last jury trial I had, you know, I talked to the jury afterwards, which you're allowed to do. In fact, I took one of them out for a drink, which is perfectly permissible. And he told me that the thing they focused on was something that we spent so little time on. And, you know, it was so interesting that they focused on, and it wasn't something irrelevant, it was actually part of the medical evidence, but it was a minor part of our case, I thought. And he said, oh, that was a huge part for us. So you never know what really goes on behind the jury.
And I just worry about being that one holdout that, you know what, I can't do this. I mean, doesn't the pressure start then so they can wrap this up?
I mean, we've all seen every movie, right?
Twelve Angry Men.
all the drama of what goes on there. And, you know, I think it's your duty, though, when you take that oath to be a juror, to hold out. Now, there is a process, of course, to convince jurors of your side. And that's perfectly within the purview of what jurors should do. If you are the holdout, Wendy, and I think that I'm right, and I think more importantly that the evidence supports my position, it is my duty to convince you to vote my way. You, of course, have the right to either say yes or no and be the holdout. We've all seen high-profile cases. The first Cosby case was a hung jury. That happens. There are holdouts who don't change their mind, but there's a process to deal with that, of course.
You'll give Wendy and I some sample jurist questions.
Yes, right?
I'd be the best juror ever.
What are you saying? The best ever.
I'm going to break you down. We'll see.
All right.
That's coming up in just a little bit. Rich Lankoff is here, attorney at LeBrice, Downey & Lankoff, LLC. He also has a podcast on WGN Plus called Legal Face-Off. We're talking about the McDonald case and the jury selection, and you have some sample questions. You'll see how Wendy and I would do if you would accept us as jurors.
Yeah, I thought it'd be fun to see, you know, if you guys would qualify. So this is, of course, after. The process is you have filled out, as we mentioned earlier, a questionnaire in writing. This one was an extensive one,
over
125 questions.
Yeah.
So the purpose of the written questions is for the two sides to have equal access to information for some basic information. And then frequently the judge will run voir dire, which is the question process, and then he or she will turn it over to the attorney. So let's assume that's all been done. I have some information about you, and you know, when do you step in the box? I'm going to ask you, you know, I would first, of course, have introduced myself, try to develop a rapport, look you in the eye, all that kind of thing. A lot of what we do when we're doing this is not just looking for the or listening to the answers, but we're looking at body language.
Yep.
You know, as an attorney, you have to be a bit of a psychologist, a body language expert. A lot of what the jurors tell you, they don't say orally. They're telling you by their demeanor, by their body language. So I know you've got a legendary poker face.
I don't really. I'll cry. I'll cry in about 30 seconds up there.
So here's a question I would ask if I was handling it. Wendy, as a general proposition, do you think a police officer is more likely or less likely to tell the truth than a witness who is not a police officer? And by the way, before you answer, these are not, it might sound sort of like a trick question, a riddle. The best questions are the simplest ones, and the best questions are open-ended ones, because you want the juror, the potential juror, to feel comfortable saying a lot about themselves. You don't have a lot of time, so the goal is to get them to really tell you a lot with a simple question. That being said,
go ahead. Like to believe that a police officer would be more trustworthy.
Why do you think that?
Because I follow the law, I look up to the police officer, and you think that the police are going to follow the laws as well, and I trust police.
Okay, very good. We would then turn you over. The process would be, you know, we would turn you over to the other side. I might ask you some follow-up questions. Let's turn
Already
to Bill.
Already I got nervous.
Yeah, you see?
Know, for,
right.
I, seriously.
Right.
All right, Bill, welcome.
Any math questions?
Yes.
There are math questions? Square roots and stuff?
Thank you for serving today and showing up. I know it's been...
Take your hat off.
Thank you,
Your
Honor.
Take your hat off, please. And
your excellence.
Wear something appropriate next time to court, by the way.
Tank tops are appropriate.
All right. Bill, do you support or share the views of any organization or group that seeks changes in criminal laws, sentencing of offenders, the rights of victims of crime, or the rights of people accused of committing crimes? Groups like the ACLU, groups like the NRA, NAACP, any groups like that that you have supported or been a member of?
I am not affiliated with any groups as such.
The as such was really the...
I want people to know I
went to high school.
Can I just tell you, though, like I got lost in that question. It was too long.
It's a little bit long.
And I would be nervous. Like, can you repeat the question?
Of course. And you know, if this was real voir dire, I would probably be a lot more simple, like I said earlier. Although you do want the question to, you know, include the thing. What I'm trying to get there, obviously, is whether you're a member of the NAACP or the NRA, you know, groups on either side.
I'm a former Weeblo. I would mention that, certainly.
Yes, the scouting group. Would be... But actually, you say that, and it's a joke, but as a defendant in this case, as a defense lawyer, what you're looking for is someone who could put themselves in the position of Van Dyke, right?
Oh, yeah,
you want
sure.
someone, obviously, who could sympathize with Van Dyke, someone who understands what it's like to make split decisions, because that's what you want as a juror. You want someone who... you know, can sympathize with what he did. I'm not saying what he did was right or wrong, but as a defense lawyer, defending someone accused, by the way, first time in 35 years that a police officer in our city has been charged with first-degree murder.
Yeah.
You want someone facing that charge to have jurors who could at least understand what was going through his mind that night. You mentioned 16 shots. At first glance, that seems excessive to anyone, right? It's a no-brainer when you think about it. However, you want someone to listen to Van Dyke's testimony. We've already been previewed it by his now famous Chicago Tribune interview, who can at least understand what it's like not reading this a month, a year, 2 years later, but that night on the spot when you perceive that someone was holding a knife.
And I took that question to mean, are you thinking individually or are you thinking as a member of a larger group?
Sure. Are your affiliations, and we've all got affiliations, you know, at some point, are your affiliations a preview of how you would act as a juror?
Right.
It's not in and of itself a reason to exclude you, but remember, what you're trying to do during voir dire is discover things in a very short period of time, right? If you had the luxury of a three-hour interview, you would know everything you need to know about that person. But you've got a few minutes sometimes, and you want questions that will elicit the maximum amount of information.
Yep.
How many jurors do they have so far?
They've got five. Coming into today, so Monday they picked five. It began again today. So coming into today, they had five, which actually is a pretty good pace.
No African American jurors yet. Which
I thought they had one.
Did they?
I thought they had one.
I thought they had five to me.
Let's see. You're right. They had three white members, one Asian American, and white Hispanic woman.
Yeah.
So you're right, which is, you know, very telling.
I'm surprised.
See, that shouldn't be allowed. I mean, I know that you said there's special circumstances where you can deny someone because of their race, not letting it know it's because of their
never
race.
Like
you
of their
find,
race, right.
But you find another thing, yeah. Like, you know, oh, their memory right. lapsed in the middle of our question. I don't rely on this person to remember
Listen,
what we're talking about.
If this jury ends up somehow to have no African Americans, I mean, that's going to be a huge issue, a huge
yeah.
mistake. I mean,
actually, in the last few minutes, they did seat an African American.
Oh, they did.
Woman.
Eric
yes.
Rome checking in. Thank
Thanks,
you
Eric.
So much
yep.
for that.
Thanks.
Yeah, I expect we'll see a significant representation of the African American community. You know, they don't want to exclude, obviously, that group of people from an issue, from a trial. Where race is so significant.
Sure.
So
yeah.
It'll be representative, I think, of the city.
Rich, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
much.
Very much. Appreciate
yeah.
it.
All right. Coming up, the stories that matter with Eric Rung from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.